produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Praise the Lord. We bless God and we give God all the glory, honor, and praise as we begin to celebrate and step into Rosh Hashanah in terms of the Jewish calendar. Today is actually the day that is being celebrated as the new year using the Hebraic calendar. And so we just want to declare and pray on this new day according to the Jewish calendar. We declare a new season according to the word in Isaiah 43:19, when the Lord says, "Behold, see, I do a new thing." We connect right now to the new thing, to the new season, and we are forgetting the former things, as is said in Isaiah 43:18. And so even now I'm praying that the Lord will bring you to a place of new favor, new grace, new revelation, new wisdom, new relationships, new resources. And those who have been in the business world, I pray that the Lord will bring new clientele, new business strategies, new ideas, new creativity and innovation. May He begin to download it in you right now in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So we are so blessed to just thank God that each and every one of us are still alive. We bless God for life. Some of us, you know, have gone through this season of lockdown. And speaking of that, I actually want to talk to you about legacy. I'm talking to you about legacy. On Wednesday, September the 2nd, at approximately 3 o'clock in the morning, I received a phone call that all of us, you know, always will just dread receiving that phone call. And I received a phone call from Botswana informing and advising me that my beloved mother, you know, I'm an only child, and my beloved mother had transitioned onwards to glory. And so it was one of those phone calls that I've always dreaded, not having any siblings, but I just want to thank God and celebrate her life. My mother would have been 95 years old, you know, this coming, in a few weeks' time, I think she would have been 95 on October the 10th. And so I just celebrate her life. Tributes have come pouring in from all over the world. And in fact, she's been even receiving some awards posthumously. Posthumous awards have come in from the UK and official letters coming in from Nigeria, from Thailand, from the UK, from all over the world. And we were blessed during my time in Botswana to come and just, you know, be with her during our funeral arrangements and celebrating her life. The president of Botswana also was gracious enough to come by to convey his condolences and also to send a speech and read a speech during her funeral. Now, what it got me thinking of was legacy, because I started to now look and see some of the footprints that my mother had left, not only in the nation that she was born in, the nation of Botswana, but also in the nations around the world that she had traveled to and sitting on various forums and beginning to, you know, teach and train and equip people in various nations. And it started me thinking about legacy. So I have been really burdened by legacy and wanting to leave a legacy. The life that my mother lived inspired me to want to do more and to want to step in to legacy, leaving a legacy that is irrefutable, leaving a legacy that will, you know, is sustainable, leaving a legacy that will impact many lives. And my prayer is that you, not just I, but you will also be encouraged, will be inspired, will be provoked to leave a legacy. Because all of us are expected to leave a legacy. All of us are expected to leave a footprint that is sustainable when we leave this earth. And first question we need to ask ourselves is, what is a legacy? What are we talking about when we say legacy? Well, legacy is something that you and I must leave behind when we leave this earth. In simple terms, it is something that we leave behind when we leave this earth. And sometimes we look at legacy very superficially, where we think that legacy is just about leaving an inheritance. Legacy is just about leaving a house or a building. But legacy goes far beyond that. And when we talk about legacy, legacy is supposed to be something positive. But the unfortunate reality is that some people leave behind terrible legacies, or they leave behind poor legacies. And as the church of Yeshua HaMashiach, as the church of Jesus Christ in particular, as the sons of God and the children of God, we are called to be salt and light. And salt and light is about leaving legacy. When you are salt, it means that you've left a legacy of flavor. When you are light, it means that you've left a legacy of pushing back the darkness. There is a legacy that you and I are expected to leave. And like I've said, every believer and every child of God is called to leave a legacy. It's not just leaders. So it's not just the elders of the body of Christ who are expected to leave a legacy. It's not just the fivefold ministers. It's not just the bishops who are called to leave a legacy. But each and every one of us, in as long as you and I are in relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, the fact that you have Jesus Christ in your life, that you are in an intimate relationship with Him, means that you and I must live the life of Yeshua. We are followers, imitators, disciples of Christ. And like Christ, like Yeshua, who left an irrefutable legacy, a legacy that impacted the nations and impacted the world. Similarly, when you carry Christ, you must leave a legacy. Legacy is about leaving generational impact. And we must first and foremost, understand that we serve a generational God. There is an expectation, beloved, that you and I pass the baton on to the next generation. God is a generational God. In Genesis 50, verse 24, the scripture says as follows. It says, "And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.'" So we see that God is not just a God of Abraham, but a God of Isaac, a God of Jacob. In other words, from generation to generation. So the covenant had to pass on from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. God is a covenantal God. There is a covenantal responsibility. And so if we understand legacy, we understand that legacy is about passing on the baton from one generation to another generation. And the question that I have for you and I is, what legacy are you going to leave for the next generation? What legacy, in fact, are we as Africans going to leave for the next generation? Are we going to pass on a baton of an Africa that has been enriched, an Africa that has been empowered, an Africa that, we have stewarded her resources? Or are we going to pass on a legacy of an Africa that has been depleted, an Africa that we have sold our land? What legacy are you and I going to pass on? Kingdom legacy is what God expects us to pass on. So you and I are not just expected to pass on any legacy, but a kingdom legacy. As people who follow the King of Kings, our legacy must be connected to kingdom. It's not about building personal empires. It's not about building ourselves, our own towers and silos that are dedicated to us, that are dedicated to building houses and mansions and cars. Because, you can build a house, but a house is not really a legacy, because a tornado can come tomorrow and your so-called legacy will be wiped out. A car can never truly be a legacy, because a car is here tomorrow and today and tomorrow it's in an accident. So what legacy will you have left behind, if your legacy is only relegated or connected to material possessions and monetary inheritance. Our inheritance, beloveds, our inheritance to our children, to the next generation, must surely be more than money, than buildings, than material possessions. It must be a legacy and an inheritance that we can leave that is sustainable and that is eternal. What legacy are we bringing? It cannot just be a legacy of self. It must be a legacy that touches communities and that impacts nations. In our nation, in South Africa specifically, we are seeing legacies of corruption. Government funds and coffers are being looted by unscrupulous people. And so you and I must rise up. And when others have purposed and committed to looting government funds and looting funds that were meant for the disadvantaged and for the vulnerable, then you and I must see to it that we stand and we walk and in righteousness, and that instead of looting the coffers, it is you and I who are feeding the vulnerable, taking care of the disadvantaged, because there is a legacy that God is calling you and I into, a righteous legacy, a legacy of salvation, a legacy of deliverance, a legacy of righteousness, being in right standing with God, a legacy of morality and a legacy of ethical behavior. What legacy are you going to leave behind? What legacy is your family going to leave behind? What legacy are you as a ministry, as a church, going to leave behind? This is the challenge. This is the question that you and I must ask ourselves every day as we wake up, as we rise. Legacy, legacy. As leaders in the ministry, what legacy are you leaving? The legacy that we are called to bring as leaders within the fivefold ministry is a legacy of teaching, a legacy of training, a legacy of equipping, a legacy of coaching. The fivefold ministry is not about showing off about your title, but it's about teaching, training, equipping, and empowering. And so in this season, I adjure you, I pray that you will be provoked to teach others, to mentor others. Let it be a legacy of mentoring, not just mentoring out there in the corporate world, not just mentoring on professional skills, but mentoring and raising up a generation to walk in character. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit relates to our character. It relates to love. It says the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 fruit that are mentioned there, starting with love. And the fruit there, it's talking about different types of fruit, inclusive of self-control, inclusive of gentleness, inclusive of joy. All those fruit of the Spirit are speaking of character. And so in this season, God is looking for people who will rise up and begin to leave a legacy of character, that you and I will be known as people of character. Not people of sexual promiscuity, not people of financial immorality, but people of character. May God raise up men and women in the house of God. May God raise up men and women who are sons of God, who will leave legacy of good character, who will leave that flavor. May God raise us up to leave a legacy in young people, that young people will see role models who demonstrate the character of Christ. What legacy are you leaving behind? As women, what legacy are we leaving behind? Is it a legacy of gossip? Is it a legacy of strife and bringing division? Or is it a legacy of prayer? Is it a legacy of prayer? In Jeremiah 9:17, the word of God is actually provoking and calling for women of prayer. Jeremiah 9:17, God says, consider and call for the mourning women or the wailing women, that they may come, and send for skillful wailing women, that they may come. There's a call for women who know how to wail. There's a call for women who know how to pray, but not only know how to pray. In verse 20, these are women who will also know how to pray, but they will also teach their daughters how to pray. Let God raise up a generation of women who know how to wail, women who know how to pray, women who know how to teach the younger ones how to operate, the younger ones how to behave, the younger ones how to dress, Hallelujah. Titus women who will teach, the older Titus type of women who will teach the younger ones, leaving a legacy of holding on to the word of God, a legacy of not of one of promiscuity, but one of young women who are followers of Christ and disciples of Christ, not young women who are looking for blessers, but young women who are worshipers, young women who love God, young women who are pursuing the kingdom of God, young women who are making a difference in their generation, who are leaders, who are pioneers, and who are trailblazers. May God cause us to rise up and teach and train and empower young women who will take Africa, the continent, by the hand, not a legacy of gossip, not a legacy of strife making or creating division, but a legacy of women who will pass on valuable lessons and teachings through mentoring others. I pray that God will raise up mentors in this season. Mentors who will not compete against those they are mentoring, but mentors who will raise up another generation. Hallelujah. As men, God is looking for men who will leave a legacy in another generation. There are young boys out there who are looking for fathers who have not grown up with fathers. There's a legacy that is coming out in South Africa that is undesirable. We are seeing gender-based violence. We are seeing rape and sexual molestation. So we are inheriting a legacy of criminality. We are inheriting a legacy of violence. But I pray that God will raise up men, men who will rise up and not leave legacies of violence and gender-based violence, but they will teach and raise up a generation of young men who will not be rapists, who will not be molesters, who will not be violent, but they will leave a legacy of raising up a generation of young men who know God and who know how to treat women and who know how to walk in His ways. In Psalm 71, verses 17 to 18, it says this: "Even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come." So my prayer is that God will raise up men who will begin to father the fatherless. There's an absence of fathers out there. The statistics claim that there are up to almost 9 million fatherless children. So may God raise you up. May God raise you up to leave a legacy of fathering others, a legacy of fatherhood, raising up young men who will know who they are, know their identity in Christ. Let it be a legacy that will cause you, older men, to point to the Father. In 1 John 2:13, it says, "I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning." May God raise up men who will point to Christ and who will show young men, those who are younger than them, who will begin to show them who the real Father is, Abba Father, and begin to emulate Abba Father. I pray that we will leave a legacy, legacies in the community to bring transformation, legacies of feeding the hungry, and legacies of helping the vulnerable instead of actually looting what was set aside for them. May this be our portion, that you will leave a legacy not only in Jerusalem, but a legacy in Judea, a legacy in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. In this season, let us not be myopic. Let us not just look at our own neighborhood, but let us go and leave legacies out there. You know, I was encouraged to see that Thailand, you know, had written letters about my mother, all these different nations, because God is not just looking for us to look at our immediate surroundings, but in this season, may we go ye out there. May you leave a legacy of new blueprints that will go out of South Africa, beyond South Africa, beyond the SADC region, beyond even the continent, and begin to leave legacies that will begin to change nations and align nations to their redemptive purpose, align nations to their redemptive grace, that nations will rise up, May God raise you up as sons who will take the nations by the hand, and you will leave legacies of change, legacies of new strategies, legacies of new policies, new business policies, new economic policies that bring in the aspect of Ubuntu. Policies that are not just there for commercial benefit, but policies that will release transformation, true transformation, where the community gets involved. May you leave legacies that will completely change the nation. You know, I've been so excited because in South Africa, we are seeing some change, legislative change. Recently, there was a constitutional court decision that came out. And it was a result of Christians coming together to challenge a law whereby nobody could actually run for office unless they belonged to a political party. But a group of Christians came together. They went to that Western High Court. And from the Western High Court, they went to the Constitutional Court. And a precedent-setting court judgment was released, which now allows for independent candidates so that you and I can run now as independent candidates to now, whether you belong to a political party or not, you can run for a presidential election. You can run as part of the national elections. You can run in the municipal elections as an independent candidate. That is a legacy, a legislative legacy that has changed the political system, that has brought about political reform, that has come through legislative reform. And that is the legacy that God is expecting you and I to bring. Legacies that will align our nation with the kingdom pattern and the kingdom blueprint. My prayer for you and I in this season is that we will leave those kingdom legacies wherever we go. May you leave a legacy, a kingdom legacy in your office, that you will bring blueprints that will bring alignment to whatever area of expertise you are called in the economic area, in the communication area, dealing with the media, in the governance area. May God release legacy in you so that you will not be looking at just short-term difference, but looking at leaving a legacy, that you will be counted as one of the legacy makers, that God will use you as a vessel and God will use you as a channel of bringing change and transformation. Legacy. Legacy is the word that I had for you and I today. I am consumed by legacy. I've been inspired by my mother, who by God's grace, you know, she was the first woman in the whole nation of Botswana to get a PhD degree. Not only that, she was the first woman in Botswana to earn professorial status. And that is where you and I must be looking. May God raise you up to be trailblazers. May God raise you up to be pioneers. May God raise you up to leave a sustainable kingdom footprint where another generation will take the baton and begin to run their race, because you've left a legacy of empowerment, a legacy of equipping them, a legacy whereby they can run and from where you've left off and take it to another level, that God will begin to use us to move and bring transformation from one level of glory to another level of glory. God bless you as you begin to think legacy. God bless you as you think kingdom legacy. God bless you as you allow yourself to be used to bring change, transformation, and release legacy in your community, within your family, as a corporate group, as a ministry, and within your nation. You are a legacy maker. Remember that and go out there and release legacy, kingdom legacy, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We bless God and give him all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, as we bring across to you Jeremiah 1, verse 5-8.
You were formed in your mother's womb. God says, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be what you are supposed to be. The other version say, I called you. So we define calling as God's invitation for you to participate into that which he has created you for. What is calling? Calling is God's invitation. He's inviting you. That because you, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before your mother and father met, the truth is, I knew you were going to be born. Your location was known by me. Where you would be born was known by me. Which parents you become under, it was known by me. Every race and every culture, it was known by me. God says, therefore, you are not a mistake according to my way of operating. Before you were formed, God says, I knew you. And because I knew you, I sanctified you and ordained you, or I separated you. That's God's calling over your life. Now, why don't you say that with me, if you will, please. I am called.
I am called.
Shout again, I am called.
I am called.
What is the call of God over your life? It is God's invitation for your participation in the reason for your creation. Which means, therefore, you and I need to understand that because God called me, and he's inviting me, therefore, for me to develop that calling. He calls you, but then it is your duty to develop that call in you. He calls you, but it is up to you to develop that call that is inside of you. Why? Because to each one of us, God has given us what we call a free will. A what? A free will. So you can choose what you want. When you hear the testimonies from Tara and Kelly, they tell you that you see, when you end up going in ways that you have not planned for your life, the enemy's desire is to blind you from getting your calling. So it's important that we see, as we now begin to check in the story of this young man called Jeremiah. But way before, the way God calls his people is, seems to me it's very, very similar. Whether he's calling Adam, he says to Adam in chapter 3, after Adam and Eve were created in his image and they're in the garden, and after they've eaten of the fruit of the tree that God had told them not to eat, listen, when God calls them, Adam, Adam, he's calling him. Question, where are you? Answer, God knew where Adam was because he's omnipotent, all-powerful God, is omniscient, is all-knowing God. You're with me? So if God knew where Adam was, that he was hiding by the bush, why is he calling him, where are you? Because somewhere there, God knows what has made Adam to hide. Do we know what has made Adam to hide? Because Adam says, I was naked, I was afraid, I was ashamed. So you realize that what makes you not to fulfill your calling as a child of God? It is shame. It is insecurity. It is fear. Starts from the great-great-grandparents of ours. He hides because he was afraid. But it's not only Adam, because you'll find it in Moses. God calls Moses. Moses, Moses! I'm now calling you to go and deliver my people out of bondage before Pharaoh. What is the reason that Moses gives? The reason that Adam gives is not the reason that Moses gives, but it is the same package. Moses says, I can't talk. I'm slurred of speech. I'm a stammerer. I can't talk. And God is saying, I know that. Before you were formed, I knew you had a speech problem. So because I know your problem, your weakness, because I understand your limitations, I am God. And I want to prove before the people of the world that if I call you, I qualify you.
Amen.
You hear me?
Yes.
God says, I wanted to understand that it doesn't matter that you can't talk. It doesn't matter that you can't finish a sentence when you start talking. But Moses, when I pointed my finger at you, I knew already what is your problem.
Yeah,
Talk to me, somebody.
Come on.
So Moses' issue is not an issue before God. Because before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be the best coffee maker, Katie. God says, I formed you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, my calling is greater. So what am I saying to us today? Your calling, somebody shout
my calling.
Your calling is greater than you getting a better car. You see?
Yes.
Your calling is better than you getting a nice outfit.
Amen.
Yes. Your calling should be number one, should be a priority. Your calling. If you know who you are, it doesn't matter what you don't have.
Amen.
Because your call will give you what you don't have.
Yes.
So when I went into ministry to be a preacher of the word, I was sharing with somebody yesterday and said, when I went into ministry, pastors were not getting salary. I knew that when I get into ministry, it was full time living by grace. And the offering is on a Sunday. So my motivation, therefore, helps me to understand it's not money.
Amen.
I'll preach whether I get money or not.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Because if the calling is there, even when you are tired, even when people talk, calling will push you.
Amen.
Huh? You keep trekking because there is a burden. It's a responsibility that is in you, that you know it's greater than money.
Amen.
It's greater than the dollar sign.
Money.
It's greater than what people say.
Money.
It's greater than what they have told me about. It's greater than the guilt, the shame that I carry. Because the calling is greater than anything else that everyone says. Someone shout again, I am called.
I am called.
Joseph Lufton, in 1955, together with a gentleman, Harrington Ingham, they came with a model of quadrant that defines yourself. And now let me take you through that. I won't waste much of your time, and I'm going to let you go. And they put it into four circles. They call it now the Johari window. In the Johari window, it was developed by two psychologists in 1955, Joseph Lufton and Harrington. And here's what they say about you. That will help you to know you. Because the hour I'm after, I want to make sure that the real you comes out.
Amen.
In the first part, he says, that is what we call open self. The open self. Now, the open self is what you know about you and what others know about you. We call it an open self. So those who know me, I love chili. Ah, no, Pastor Josh loves chili. I love chili. I love pizza. When my wife is hiding, I love pizza. We can go on a diet with my wife and say, yeah, I'm going to eat healthy in the house. But don't trust me. Don't trust me because 2 a.m., there's something that calls me Josh. This is the fridge. I eat there, wipe my mouth, and come back to bed, and everything was fine because I love pizza. There are things that people know about you. You're with me? There are things that people know about you, and there are things obviously that you know about yourself. But you see, we call that an open self. But there is number two. And number two, we call it the hidden self. The hidden self. Now, in the hidden self, it's that I do in the dark that Shelley doesn't know. I just finished 2 slices of pizza. And I guzzled down a bottle of Coke. I know it's not good for you. I know. Don't tell me. And I just blessed myself with a chocolate bar. Oh. 2 a.m. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, smell.
So the hidden self. It's what I know. What she doesn't know. And what you don't know. Open self. You snow the surface. We know Josh. Well, no, Josh, he loves tea. But there are things you don't know about me. And those things are known only by me. And the reason why you don't know them is because I don't want you to know. Okay? Yeah. I don't want you to know. And they did themselves. It's my own secret. But then number three, there is now what they call the blind self. The blind self is what we call the blind spot. It is what others know about me, but I don't know. So they see things around me, and I can be so defensive. Who are you talking about? What? That's not me. The devil is a liar. Don't try and put things on me.
He's a liar. That's right.
We call them blind spots because you can't see everything around you.
Amen.
Like, you have got eyes looking straight forward. You can't see behind here. So let me tell you, because I often say, I don't want to go off a tangent here, but I just got to say this. If you ask me who to marry, let me help you. Marry somebody. Who will point out the blind spots? Because I can guarantee you there are things she can tell me I don't see I do. Okay, I'm fine. I think I'm perfect. I dress well. I know I'm very well. But those things are blind spots. And in marriage, reason why 60% of marriages end up in divorce, it is right there. Because when you marry, you should marry your friend. Don't marry an assignment. Don't marry anybody who's going to be hard work to deal with. Marry somebody. The reason why you realize honeymoon. We like talk about honeymoon, but honeymoon is first time two of you can stand naked and not ashamed. And I am saying, look at me as I am, with no makeup. I'll remove my foreskin. Look at me. I remove my wig. Well, Canada doesn't make my name of Australian culture, but the Africans that are here, they understand what I'm talking about. So they come in various ways. The Brazilian hair, it's Mozambican hair. It comes in all different fashions now, and they're very expensive as you grow. Is it synthetic or is it human? Talking to one of my elders, my elder says, I can't even tell these African women. And I thought I saw this one last week, and I thought it was this person last week, but they've changed because they've changed their hair. What I saw last week was Nikki, but in this week, no, there was no Nikki in church. I tell you, there was no Nikki. Nikki was in church today. Talk about it, but she's my sister. Now listen. Because when you marry, you want to marry a friend. You need somebody in your life, in your relationships. If you want to get the secret of getting a good friend around you and the social spectrum, get a friend. Not the Facebook friend. Oh, you have 5,000 of them already. Who's a friend? He's a friend. Because you see, a friend is the one that you need to make sure that you can stand two of you here together and will say, I love you. Because there's a difference between love you, but stay there. But if I come this close and begin to describe the flatness of your nose, this close, and I begin to say certain tendencies and traits and behaviors that you do that are like your mouth stinks. You like to try a mint, just try a mint. Because your mouth stinks. Now we have a problem. It's a blind spot. It's a what?
Blind spot.
We all have them. Now, in this church, hidden self and blind self are the areas where the devil wants to work in.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
If you tell yourself you don't have a problem, it's easy for you to be arrogant and have an attitude against people. People don't like me. No, maybe they like you. Maybe you've got a problem because you don't receive correction. How come I don't keep relationships around me? Every time when I try to befriend somebody and after 3 months and then they don't understand me. Maybe chill. Are you ready to listen to what they want to say about you and you take it in the rightful way? We call it blind spot. But my concentration is the last one. The unknown self. The unknown self is the self where you and I need to understand what God is doing in our lives. Because the unknown self, you don't even know about you. Other people don't know about you. The danger of that is, if you don't know about you, and you don't know about yourself, and they don't know about yourself, what happens is, they begin to put labels on you. And the labels they put on you stick. And you live your life miserable, frustration, because you don't know who you are. They don't know who you are. But then they tag you and they put you into this category of average, mediocre, low life of living. And you wonder, why am I not enjoying my life? So we live in societies today where men and women are frustrated about themselves. Who am I? I want to help you there. Here is what God says to Jeremiah. Back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, before you were formed, I knew you. I know you don't know what you carry. I know you don't know the potential that is in you. I know you don't understand the capacity that is inside of you. But I made you, Moses, even though you can't talk, but you can lead my people, 3 million Jews, out of bondage, because I know leadership in you. Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh and preach to them. Jonah's problem was judgmental. What? Yes, Nineveh, Jonah, go and preach to them because you are an evangelist there. Jonah says, over my dead body, God, I'm not going there. Those guys are cruel. Mind you, when Jonah says that, his relatives and uncles and cousins who were in Nineveh, the Ninevites were the first one to come up with the issue of crucifixion. And they would crucify people upside down on a hill. And therefore, they were cruel and mean. So he stands and he says, you want me to preach to those criminals? And they repent? And you forgive them? After they did what they did? Forget it. I am not going there. God says, let's see who's going to win. He bought his own ticket. That's what we do. He bought his own ticket going in the opposite direction. They call it Tarshish. As I would say, Tarshish means take it easy. He bought his own ticket and he went. The Bible then says when he went into that boat, that big sea container, he went down. You know when you're hiding. Down. And he was there asleep. It cost everyone who was on that trip their cargo, their jewelry, their gold, their silver, because there is one disobedient fellow who's running away from his calling. At the end of the day, God won. And my desires may not be like a Jonah. Don't allow everything else to be wasted around you. Then you realize, oh, by the way, I am called by God. Why wait till you go for pension? And then you say, now I want to serve God. I want to serve my calling. I'm an apostle. Why wait until retirement? This is the time. You see, the problem is, in Christianity, we have thought calling to be only something that happens in church. Your calling is not here.
Amen.
Your calling is out there.
Amen.
Do you enjoy what you do? Do you enjoy your life? Because your calling carries everything about your life. My prayer to God in destiny is that you will live your calling. The devil's desire is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the desire of God about your life is for you to live your calling. Say this with me. I am born to live.
I am born to live.
My destiny.
My destiny.
Shout again. I am born to live.
I am born to live.
My destiny.
My destiny.
So how, therefore, are we going to help Jeremiah? Let me give you three things and then we pray. He says in the next verse, verse 6. Let's read together. Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold,
I am straight.
Don't you find it very funny that he says, I cannot speak? God did not say, I know you cannot speak. God knows Jeremiah cannot speak. When God calls you, he calls you despite your weaknesses. When God calls you, God calls you despite your insecurities. When God calls you despite what they say. Now listen, he says, I cannot speak because I am youth. The other version says, you know I cannot speak because I am young. It's a revelation for you. God knows you are young. God knows you don't have a certificate for. God knows that. God knows you're not educated enough. God knows you're not coming from a rich family. God knows that your parents, they've divorced. God knows that you have lived a very distressed life. God knows you have been through the emotional imbalance. God knows that. God knows that.
Amen.
And he says, I cannot speak for I am youth. Verse 7, what does it say in Hungary? Let's read together. But the Lord said to me,
do not say I am youth.
Watch. Don't rush it. God says, don't say that. God says what?
Don't say that.
God is not saying, I don't see that you are young. I see that you are young. But don't say that. Sounds like you. God says, I know you are young. But I called you. Don't say that. In other words, God is saying, it's a fact that you are young. But the truth is, you are a prophet. Am I right about it? God says, it's a fact that you are young and you cannot speak. But the truth is, you are a prophet. And not just a prophet, but a major prophet.
Amen.
The Bible has got major prophets and minor prophets. Mm-hmm. And I've often found it very oxymoron that God often calls people that have got impediments around them to do major tasks.
Yes.
You missed it.
Yeah.
I said, Jeremiah was not a minor prophet like Habakkuk. He's not a minor prophet like Micah. He was a major prophet. And major does not mean he was more anointed. But major just means he carried a larger assignment to a people. God lays his treasure
Amen.
In people that are weak.
Yes.
God
yes.
lays his treasure and value in people that are broken.
Yes.
Because anointing flows well
yes.
in broken vessels.
Yes.
The more broken you are, the more God will use you.
Yes.
Shout, that's me.
Yes.
Shout, I'm ready for my assignment. Shout, I'm ready for my calling. I know they hated you. I know they sidelined you. I know they marginalized you. I know they talked bad about you. I know they gossiped you. I know they were jealous of you. I know they didn't like you. I know they looked at you and they leveled you. You are a drunkard. You are an addict. You are an alcoholic. But I'm about to say, I'm about to set my assignment. Because out of the brokenness, God raises his best. I'm about to move into my anointing. Because when God calls, he doesn't call the perfect. He calls the disqualified.
Yes.
And he qualifies them for himself.
Yes.
Somebody say, God qualifies you.
Amen. Once again, Shimikoti Ministries, Radio Network, National, International. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Boyle, all the way from Western Australia, Western Standard Time. as we communicate what you need to know about yourself. Thank you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.